You'd better come with us, Horsa told Balvader. I don't like leaving you here with all this equipment switched on.
Oh, Horsa, Balvader smiled. Don't you trust me?
Just walk in front and shut up, Horsa said in a tired voice, and pointed to indicate the direction he wanted to go in. Balvader shrugged and started walking.
Does she have to come?
Yarsin said, as she fell into step beside Horsa. We could always lock her up, Horsa said. He looked at Yarsin, who shrugged.
Ah, oh, what the hell, she said.
Unaha Klosp floated through the train. Outside, it could see the repair and maintenance cavern, all its machinery. Lathes and forges, welding rigs, articulated arms, spare units, huge hanging cradles, a single suspended gantry like a narrow bridge, glinting in the bright overhead lights. The train was interesting enough. The old technology provided things to look at and bits and pieces to touch and investigate. But Unaha Klosp was mostly just glad to be by itself for a while. It had found the company of the humans wearing after a few days, and the changer's attitude distressed it most of all. The man was a speciesist.
Me, just a machine, thought Unaha Klosp. How dare he?
It had felt good when it had been able to react first in the tunnels, perhaps saving some of the others, perhaps even saving that ungrateful changer by knocking Zoxarl out. Much as it disliked admitting it, the drone had felt proud when Horsa had thanked it. But it hadn't really altered the man's view. He would probably forget what had happened or try to tell himself it was just a momentary aberration by a confused machine, a freak. Only Unaha Klosp knew what it felt. Only it knew why it had risked injury to protect the humans. Or it should know, it told itself ruefully. Maybe it shouldn't have bothered. Maybe it should have just let the Adiran shoot them. It just hadn't seemed like the right thing to do at the time. Mug, Unaha Klosp told itself. It drifted through the bright, humming spaces of the train, like a detached part of the mechanism itself. Wubslin scratched his head. He'd stopped at the reactor car on his way to the control deck. Some of the reactor carriage doors wouldn't open. They had to be on some sort of security lock, probably controlled from the bridge, or flight deck, or footplate, or whatever they call the bit at the nose the train was controlled from. He looked out of a window, remembering what Horsa had ordered. Avager sat on the pallet, his gun pointing at the Adiran, who stood stock still against the girders. Wubslin looked away, tested the door through to the reactor area again, then shook his head. The hand, the arm, was weakening. Above him, rows of seats faced blank screens. He pulled himself along by the stems of the chairs. He was almost at the corridor, which led through to the front car. He wasn't sure how he would get through the corridor. What was there to hold on to? No point in worrying about it now. He grabbed at another chair stem, hauled at it. From the terrace, which looked over the repair area, they could see the front train, the one the drone was in. Poised over the sunken floor of the maintenance area, the glittering length of the train, nestling in the scooped half-tunnel which ran along the far wall, looked like a long, thin spaceship, and the dark rock around it like starless space. Yelson watched the culture agent's back, frowning.
She's too damn docile, Horsa, she said, just loud enough for the man to hear.
That's fine by me, Horsa said. The more docile, the better.
Yelson shook her head slightly, not taking her eyes off the woman in front.
No, she's stringing us along. She hasn't cared up till now. She's known she can afford to let things happen. She's got another card she can play, and she's just relaxing until she has to use it.
You're imagining things, Horsa told her. Your hormones are getting the better of you, developing suspicions and second sight.
She looked at him, transferring the frown from Balvader to the changer. Her eyes narrowed.
What?
Horsa held up his free hand.
A joke,
he smiled. Yelson looked unconvinced.
She's up to something, I can tell, she said. She nodded to herself. I can feel it.
Quernol dragged himself through the connecting corridor. He pushed open the door to the carriage, crawled slowly across the floor. He was starting to forget why he was doing this. He knew he had to press on, go forward, keep crawling. But he could no longer recall exactly what it was all for. The train was a torture maze designed to pain him.
I am dragging myself to my death. Somehow, Even when I get to the end, where I can crawl no more, I keep going.